Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, that you never forsake us, that you're here to defend us. And Father, we pray now, Father, as we open up your word, Father, we pray that your word would resonate deep within our souls. We pray that Christ will continue to be exalted and that we all be humbled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of John, particularly John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Today's message is Tell It Off and Tell It Well. Again, we're going to be taking a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 and 40 to 40. Let me read to you. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. May the Lord add his blessing to both the reading and the preaching of his word. When I think about bread, I usually think about hot butter on a breakfast toast. When I think about bread, I think of the different choices of what we would put with our sandwiches, white, wheat, full grain. When I think about bread at restaurants, I think of those hot dinner rolls, those fresh, warm loaves, and of course those breadsticks at those Italian restaurants. When I think about bread, I think about it all season. You got zucchini bread in the summertime. You got pumpkin bread in the fall. And for any season, anytime your banana goes limp, for many of you, and at least in my house, there's banana bread. However, this morning, when we think of bread, I want you to think of it in a different light. I want you to think biblically and scripturally. Bread here on earth may be appetizing, but the bread of life that is mentioned in Scripture in Christ is satisfying. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And as we reflect further from the very words of Christ, may it encourage us, tell it often and tell it well, about the life-changing message of Christ. Now, exploring this background, earlier in chapter 6, Jesus fed the 5,000 with loaves and fish. In one sense, it satisfied the crowd's physical hunger, yet in another sense, it aroused their carnal cravings, which was evident in two ways. First of all, the crowd failed to understand the deeper meaning of the miracle. And secondly, after Jesus crossed over to the other side, they pursued him. They waited for him for another feeding. They were seeking Jesus not because they understood him, but they were seeking him because they wanted more of him. They were more concerned about their stomach than their souls. They were more concerned about being fed than responding in faith. Jesus even warned them not to work for bodily food which perishes, but for the food which endures for eternal life, which he alone could give them. It was not being fed on bread and fish that these lost souls needed, but rather feeding on the bread of life from heaven, feeding on Christ, in whom is life eternal. Further going into chapter 6, the crowd rationalized and realized they kind of compared it in history. That is, they remember back when their forefathers had eaten manna for some time. And so when they looked and compared to Jesus' feeding, it was just one feeding. And that's why they were expecting more. In other words, you fed us for the day, but we are expecting daily, like in the time of Moses. And so when we get up right to where we are at, in chapter 6, verse 34, when they said, give us this bread, they're thinking the same type of bread, or the same way that Moses gave, the same way that they had it in the days of Moses, or their forefathers had in the day of Moses. Jesus proclaimed the most incredible truth to these people, that he is the bread of life. And these people misunderstood. Jesus revealed himself, but yet they could not see it. Jesus did not say that he had the bread, but that he is the bread of life. And in Christ is eternal life. And the one who will come to him will never hunger nor thirst. Christ could satisfy their spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst because he is the living water and the bread of life from heaven. And yet these people in our text did not get it. Will we understand it? Will we get the words of Christ? Will we understand that Jesus is not only the giver of eternal life, but also the sustainer in our lives? Would we grasp the significance of this bread of life, not simply in destiny, but also the impact in our daily lives? Will we realize our need for Christ not just one time, but all the time? Not just for one moment, but all the moments. In our given passage, Jesus tells the crowd straight up who he is, what he offers. And not only does he reveal to them specifically that he is the bread of life, but he is the one who invites. He's the one who receives. He's the one who preserves. And so when we fully understand by faith who Jesus is and what he has to offer, we will tell about him often, and we will tell about him well. Let's begin to look in our passage, beginning in the first verse, what Jesus says about himself. And he says, I am the bread of life. And this is a good place to start. And especially if you are checking out and processing and discovering more about Christ, start with the words of Christ. Start with the very words of Christ. Even when we're telling others or pointing others to Christ, and there's times that we are entertaining questions, and it's good that we have answers, but eventually you want to point them to Christ. Eventually you want to say, would you be interested in the very words of what Jesus says? According to this verse, Jesus clearly and divinely stated that this bread is he. He is the bread of life. This divine bread is not a religious system. This bread is not a religious ritual, but this bread is a person. It points to the person of Christ. Jesus is the bread of life. This is Jesus on Jesus. He is telling us who he is. He is telling us what he's about. In the book of John, he would use this declarative statement, I am, 7 times. And that phrase, I am, the religious Jews understood that this is the covenant name of Yahweh, that is the Lord God, who revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. The phrase speaks of the self-sufficient existence, which is the attribute only God possesses. So Jesus describes himself and he says, I am the bread of life to the crowd. And what he's doing here, he is contrasting what he brings as the Messiah with the bread he miraculously created the day before. Before the feeding of the 5,000 with loaves, that was the physical bread that perished, good for the day. But as the bread of life, Jesus offers eternal life, good for all eternity. So this bread, the bread of life, points to Christ. This bread of life has promise. The scripture passage tells us that this bread, Jesus will give people life, and particularly in verse 40, it's eternal life. The promise is eternal life. And so ordinary bread can be of substance for a while, and surely it feeds us for the day. Then we get hungry again. But this heavenly one, Jesus, is the bread of life that gives us everlasting life. When Jesus is received by faith, he gives salvation that lasts for all eternity. And in John 1, it says, as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so when we think about this bread of life, it points to Christ. When we think about this bread of life, it has promise. When we think about this bread of life, it has power. Did you notice what Jesus said? He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This bread of life has power. Let me explain it in three ways. The bread of life, that is Jesus, has the power to save us. To save us from the wrath of God. And it is no wonder this bread of life is called the Savior. This bread of life not only has the power to save, but the power to secure. In verse 37, it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And so by the sovereign grace of God, when you come to Christ, you are forever His. Let us be reminded, this relationship will never end. This relationship will never expire. This relationship will never be corroded. This relationship is not run on batteries, but run on the power of God. We are forever His. And not only this bread of life has power to save, but has the power to satisfy forever. No longer hungry. No longer thirsty. And so every sinner who comes to Jesus by faith will be saved. Every person who believes in Christ will be secure. And everyone who repents, who professes Christ, will be satisfied. And so maybe today, will you come to Christ by faith? Will you profess Christ this morning? Those who have believed or will believe will know this, that this bread has a price. Nothing we paid for, but something that was paid for on our behalf. Jesus took the wrath of God for us. He bore our sins. He carried our sorrows. That's the price that was paid. For all who believe, we recognize the work of Christ on the cross. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So simple and so profound his words. So common bread, the most identical item that could be found at the breakfast table or at the supper table. Not uncommon to see bread. As much as we need substance like bread, on a daily basis, we need Christ every moment. Have you ever considered how much you need Christ, the bread of life? Think about the following. Even on the best of your days, or even on the worst of your days, we need the righteousness of Christ. And even if we think we're doing good, there's always more. Or sometimes we realize that we're not good enough. We need the righteousness of Christ. The story goes of a preacher in a small town, and after service, one of the church members comes up to him and says, "You are the best preacher." So afterwards, when he got home, the preacher's kind of feeling pretty good about himself. So as he has dinner with his wife, he shares what the church member said to him. And the wife looks at him and said, "Honey, you're the only preacher he has heard." Sometimes we're not as good as we think we are. And that's why we need the righteousness of Christ. On any day, we need the blood of Christ to cover the multitude of sins in our lives. On any given day, when we are troubled, we need the peace of Christ. And when we are weak, we need the power of Christ. At any moment when we become discouraged, we need the promise and the hope of Christ. And at the end of the day, when sometimes the world gets the best of us and we feel misunderstood, we need the word of Christ to fill us, the presence of Christ to satisfy us. Some ministry perspective. Often we want to be like faucets to pour into people's lives. The way we could do it, and the only way we could do it, is through Christ. Christ is the living water that can flow through us. He is the substance that can continue to sustain us, that we may accomplish, that we may do the work that is set before us. And when we understand our need for this bread of life, for Jesus on a daily basis, it will help us to tell it often and tell it well about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Now, you may wonder, how come the crowd in this passage did not grasp the significance in his words? For those in the crowds, they were in the very midst of Christ's presence. They witnessed firsthand his power, and they heard from their ears Jesus' promise. And yet in verse 36, it says, "But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." Why? Sometimes people are so hopelessly lost in sin that they will even reject the plain evidence that is right before them. Again, Jesus said, "You have seen me, and yet you do not believe." They had witnessed the firsthand of the miracles of Christ, the feeding of the 5,000. They listened to the very words of Christ when he said, "I am the bread of life." And even in his presence, they did not believe. They did not move forward to Christ. Early in the Gospel of John, people rejected Christ, or it's mentioned that people reject Christ because they love darkness rather than life. The book of Ephesians describes that we are spiritually dead in our trespasses. And so there's a part where sometimes it sounds hopeless, but there is hope in Christ. Because Jesus told who he is, what he has to offer, eternal life, and he told us more about himself, that he is the one who invites, he is the one who receives. So let's begin with in terms of how he invites. He says, "Whoever comes." Comes sounds genuine and gracious, and it says, "Whoever comes." The invitation is wide. He also mentions that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And so from that verse, Jesus saves those who the Father gives him. And so yet when we are to tell it often and tell it well, we should remember the inviting words of Christ, "Come. Whoever comes to me, whoever believes in me." What happens when a person comes to Christ? When a person comes to Christ, we know that the Father, it is the Father, according to the text, who the Lord God gives. We understand in Scripture that there is an awakening, a regeneration of their souls by the Holy Spirit. And by his Spirit, the person not only becomes aware of his sin and convicted of his sin, but concludes that he or she cannot save himself. But hearing the Word of God and understanding where mercy and truth comes together at the cross and laying hold of Christ, only Christ by faith, for salvation. This is what it means to come to Christ. And so when a person comes to Christ, and it could be even now, the invitation is clear and wide. And it's not simply just an invite, but it's a summons to come before the Lord God. Perhaps this today will be your come to Jesus moment, that you both understand and respond in faith to who Christ is, what he has to offer, and the price he paid on the cross for you. The invitation is by Christ. He invites us. And not only does he invite us, but he also receives us. And note the reassurance there in the passage. Jesus says, "I will never cast you out." Other versions say, "I will nowise cast you out." And let me explain. Jesus never refused anyone who genuinely comes to him in faith and repentance. You come, and he will not cast you out. No matter where you've been, no matter how tough things have been for you, no matter. Maybe your sins are many, but his forgiveness and mercies are more. Maybe no one has given you anything, or not even the time of day, but his grace and mercy abounds. Maybe no one cares, but the Lord looks upon you with compassion because you're a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus receives those who come to him. He receives the sinner mercifully, graciously, and compassionately. He freely pardons the transgressor who comes and repents. He gives the eternal life to the young child at bedside who asks Jesus to save him from his or her sins, as well as even those who may be seasoned, who finally realize that Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him, as Scripture tells us. The Bible says to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Think for a moment those words. Think for a moment the invitation. Think for a moment how Jesus receives. How comforting is the bread of life to a lonely soul. How satisfying is Jesus to a wandering soul. How empowering is Christ to a humble soul. Jesus told him about himself. He invites, he receives, and he is the one who preserves. Notice in the verses coming towards the end, verse 39, it says, "This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus told about the Father's will, not once, twice, but several times here. And each time Jesus told about his corresponding intention, all that is sent to Christ, all that is given to Christ, is kept in Christ, is raised up in Christ. Jesus shall lose none of what is given to him. It is very reminiscent of what Jesus said later in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It says, "My sheep hear of my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me and is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The reassurance, how Jesus preserves. He told about himself to the crowd. He's the one who invites. He's the one who receives. He's the one who preserves souls. And in verse 40, he summarizes again, everyone who looks to him, everyone who looks to the Son. This particular phrase, Jesus referred to the Old Testament story and how the Israelites were healed after being bitten. Interesting, in the same context from the book of Numbers, the people had grumbled about the manna, about the bread that was given. In fact, they said it was worthless food. The wrath of God is on the people because of their ingratitude and their rebellion. Yet God, in his mercy, chose to rescue and save the people from the curse. And all they had to do was look at what was provided in the brazen snake on the pole. Just in the same way, those who desire to be saved is to look upon Jesus, look upon the Son, who is mighty to save. Look and live. Look to Christ and live in Christ. Believe in Christ and belong to Christ. Have faith in Christ and be a part of the family in Christ. Once you believe in the substitution of death of Christ, you belong to Christ. Christ will never allow your soul that is committed to him by the Father to be lost or cast away. It is he, Jesus, who will raise one to the glory in the last day. Not one of his sheep will be left behind. Everyone will be accounted for, those who are in Christ, by the Good Shepherd himself. We need to tell the story of Christ. Tell it often and tell it well. We need to be reminded on a daily basis that he is the bread of life. He is our substance. He is what we need. He's the one who satisfies. He's the one who invites us. He's the one who receives us. He's the one who preserves us. And we need to tell it time and time again to ourselves. We need to tell it the world. We need to tell others about Christ, that he is the bread of life. He is the one who would ultimately satisfy. He is the one who would ultimately preserve. He is our living hope. Let us tell it often and tell it well about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, as we come before you, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus and how you have sent him down as a sacrifice, Father, for us. We thank you again, Father, that you have chosen us, that you have called us, and that you have redeemed us, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we look at Christ and look at Christ at this passage. Father, we thank you, Lord, for how he invites. The offer is open. We thank you, Father, for how he receives, how he graciously forgives for those who come to him in faith and repentance. Father, we take great assurance in how he preserves us. Father, that we are kept in Christ. Father, as we think about these things and we think about the significance, Father, of how Christ satisfies us, Father, we pray, Father, that we will continue to look to Christ on a daily basis. And not only look to Christ on a daily basis, but tell others about him too as well. Help us to tell it often and tell it well. We thank you, Father, for what you've given us to us in Christ Jesus. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.